You're listening to 104.3, 104.7 KHUM. Man, sorry about that. It's been a super busy day today in all sorts of the right ways. Like earlier today, talked to a Eureka High graduate who's involved with the Parker Solar Probe mission. Have you heard about that?
I heard that. That was a great interview.
That's a wonderful story, huh?
Yeah. Amazing.
And then also the Eureka High got this wonderful donation from Sarah Bareilles. And so they were in here.
Yeah, I bet that was really special for them.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, I mean, they were in here singing along to her song.
Yeah.
And they found out about it.
I was too. Actually, you were playing them earlier and I was walking up to HSU to hang posters. And Bailey, I have to say, I was singing along too.
To Sarah Bareilles?
Yes. And I was
She's just so infectious, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, right now, I am super pleased to have Katie Whiteside in here, who you might have heard for years on KHSU, but now you're with PBS.
That's right, PBS North Coast.
And what's your title now with PBS?
I am community engagement.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so I'm out in the community and we're talking about all the great things that PBS is doing and thinking about doing and wanting to do, getting back into the community and doing more local programming, which Charity's been working on something that we just recorded like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Lost Coast Sessions.
And Charity, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Charity Grilla. I'm the editor and director at PBS North Coast. And I was on the production crew of our brand new series, Lost Coast Sessions, which is coming up this coming weekend.
It's coming up on the 7th.
The 7th. Two weekends.
Yeah, two weekends from now. And our first up band is Lord Ellis, and I was there with the crew every night. And it was amazing for me. We had a fantastic crew directed by Sam Green. And it was amazing for me because I'm not exposed to the local music scene at all. So I went in completely fresh with no impressions, didn't know what to expect. And every single night was really different from the other acts. And it was really fun being exposed to new music that I had never heard before and had no conception. Lord Ellis was an amazing revelation.
And you had Paula Jones on there, too?
Yeah. She kind of brought the house down whenever she stepped up to the mic. She has a lot of stage presence. And you could really feel her cast a spell over the audience when she sings. And we've got her band and Word Humboldt, which is a poetry collective. And surprisingly powerful voices. And why don't you give the rundown, Katie?
I've got the rundown in my hand here. So coming up on PBS North Coast at 10 o'clock, right?
Yep.
Following Austin City Limits is Lord Ellis. They're going to be on. We also have on September 15th a Company of Voices, which are the chamber choir, which you got to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were wonderful.
They were, and they weren't just gospel music. They did a whole mix of other, not show tunes, no show tunes, but some modern stuff and then some lovely Renaissance stuff. And have you seen them, Katie?
I have not.
Oh, okay. This is your chance.
I know, right? So that's coming up on PBS North Coast.
And you can go there and you can check it out there in person, but then also it will air?
So what we're doing on Friday, September 7th, is we're having a free event at the Arcata Playhouse. So the doors will open at 7, and at 8 o'clock we're going to show snippets of each of these groups that are going to be on PBS North Coast. For everybody to see. Everybody gets to see it. And it's little snippets, I think maybe a song from each. And then after that, after the little snippets, we're going to air an hour of Lord Ellis, which the whole station, everybody at PBS North Coast is a fan of Lord Ellis.
So well, they're really great. I don't know if you've ever seen them at the... what's it called? You know, they have their all ages shows, but a whole bunch of like children will get up there close to the stage and they'll play a little bit quieter. And I don't know, they just seem like really amazing people.
There were actually quite a few people had brought their families to Lord Ellis and Object Heavy. When are they on, Katie?
They're on October 6th.
So go down. Why don't you go down the list?
Okay.
So I want to also maybe bring into the conversation if he's hooked up correctly. This is kind of a little bit last minute here. Mike, are you there? Can you hear us?
Am I hooked up correctly?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Are
hooked up correctly. You've been so quiet over the last 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, they're doing such a good job of explaining the thing. It really is.
But Mike's the producer.
It's so good.
Mike's the producer of this.
I deflect that. It takes a village to make a TV and radio show. But yeah, KHSU, super stoked to be involved. It's obviously an honor to work with all the great bands and everybody behind the scenes. You know, the sound crew, David Fernie at the Playhouse, like all the volunteers who showed up to help tape the thing. And of course, the bands, they all donated their time in support of this collaboration between, you know, local public broadcasters. And it's going to be fantastic. Like, it is going to be crazy. I was struck. Charity said that Lord Ellis was an amazing revelation. I don't think they've ever been described that way. And it's also true. Like, the breadth of genres that we're so lucky to have in this area, right? Like, we've got a heavy metal band, and then the next night it was literally chamber music, and then, you know, spoken word. Can I talk about the spoken word for just a second?
Oh, because talk about them.
Something really cool happened during the Word Humboldt taping, which is, so Word Humboldt is this kind of underground-ish collective. Like, they're really, really loose. Like, I don't communicate with them through, like, email or phones. Like, I have to message them in specific ways to get to them. But once you learn the secret knock and you get involved with Word Humboldt, like, it's a really magical thing. And so what they do is they do these weekly open mic poetry readings, and then they came out to the Playhouse, and what they did to close the show was they passed a notebook around the room. And at the top of the page on the notebook, it said, Humboldt has taught me. And then everybody in the audience who got the notebook filled in a line of this poem, and then they closed the show by reading this poem, Humboldt has taught me. And it was like, I don't know if you can see this right now through the microphone, but I have actual goosebumps right now. It was... Word Humboldt, they brought it. And of course, Object Heavy, Paula Jones Band, like, all the superlatives have been used, but they were fantastic as well.
How did the idea come up to put this together?
I am very glad you asked. Because it goes back like 10 years, and it involves, actually, KHUM was the original radio partner. KHSU is now the radio partner. But yes, Sam Green and Claire Reynolds from Key TV, they were there at the genesis of the thing. And it took 8 years to get the second season taped, so it's kind of a slow turnaround. But that's how it started, and then back in December, Keat called KHSU and said, you know, we want to do some local programming. Does KHSU want to get on board? And KHSU said, absolutely. And so from December, the plans were hatched, and then the taping was in June, and now we go to air, and it's going to be amazing.
Sounds pretty neat. And so the first one is going to be on Friday, at the 7th at 8 p.m., so two Fridays from now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want the free viewing, you can go on over to the Arcata Playhouse to check that out. And then do you want to go ahead and run down as to when all the different viewings are going to take place?
Oh, you mean on air?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Katie.
Okay. September 8th, Lord Ellis. September 15th, A Company of Voices. September 22nd, Word Humboldt. 29th of September, Paula Jones Band, and October 6th is Object Heavy.
And what time again on those days?
10 p.m. on Saturdays.
Okay, so 10 p.m. on Saturdays. Just get ready to always be glued to your television to check this out.
Nonstop concert, Austin City Limits, and then it roars right into the local music scene, Lost Coast Sessions.
I mean, on a Friday night, what better?
Saturday.
Know? It's going to be
Saturday night. Gosh, but the event, my mind is all over the place. I'm sorry.
And Katie, at that, isn't the band Lord Ellis going to be there in person too?
Drunkers.
Yes, I talked with the great bearded drummer, Steve Bonner, earlier this week. And they're going to be there in some capacity. They might be wearing tuxedos. I'm not sure. He said we might be wearing tuxedos, so I'll leave that there. Also,
that
I want to mention
fancy.
That KHSU will be airing these. I just talked to David Reed today. And Katie, do you remember what the airtime was? It was going to be on Saturday afternoon, right?
Either 1 or 2 o'clock, I think.
Somewhere in there. So KHSU will give sort of the audio teaser Earlier, and then if you like what you hear, then you can stay up and watch it after Austin's. Like, the joke is that we made Humboldt County Limits. Like, that's
right,
what we were shooting for.
And can people go ahead and view it later if they're not available, either to come to that Playhouse next Friday or watch it live on the television on Saturday? Is there another time they can check it out?
If you don't want to, if you don't know those, Mike, I do. We'll be rerunning the shows, I think, on Sundays. Go ahead and go to pbsnc.org and check the schedules for those. But also, we plan to have them on a platform called Cove, and we're going to try and download them to pbs.org, where you can already see things like the Roadie Parade and things and North Coast Perspectives that we have uploaded to pbs.org. That hasn't happened yet. We're going to, you know, broadcast them and then do a couple of encore presentations. And then it takes a bit of time to get them up on PBS, but you'll be able to see them eventually online if you don't catch them, you know, on the broadcast on PBS, Keyed HD.
Yep.
And also, there will be some videos posted to KHSU's YouTube channel and probably on Facebook as well.
Oh, righteous.
There's one other thing that I think sort of misses the point, because, like, we have been, you know, nose down in editing for like a month now, a couple months.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how much time it takes to edit these things.
Yeah, it's not fast.
It's a lot of work, but I think if you zoom out, and I was trying to pull these numbers up before the interview, which is the average American. Guess how many, like, concerts the average American sees per year? Anybody want to take a guess?
Three.
I heard you mention this at one point to me, and wasn't it like half people in the U.S. see no concerts or something like that? Or maybe it's like one.
Yeah, it's almost like a negative number. Like, the average American sees 0.5, you know, so-called live events per year, and that could be theater, that could be a live concert, it could be stand-up comedy. And, you know, once you get into that 0.5 and you start, you know, dissecting it, like, live music, people just don't go to shows is the thing. And yet here on the North Coast, we have, you know, this broad palette. There's really something for everybody. And it's a really good music scene. It's really welcoming. And some people can't get out to shows. Either you can't get out of the house, or you've got kids, or you got to work. And it makes it difficult to stay up to speed on what is going on in the local music scene. And so here, between KHSU and PBS North Coast, we're able to give you a little bit of a sampler platter that sort of runs across the spectrum. You know, it's not like all bluegrass bands, for instance. You know, we got a little something for everybody.
Which is pretty wonderful. And if people didn't catch the dates as to when these are going to air or want more information about the Lost Coast sessions, it's all on over at Keith's website.
Yeah. pbsnc.org. We've been working on a lot of local productions lately. We're really excited. This year we've done more local productions in 1 year than we ever had before.
And
it is, because so few television stations have programs about the area where we all, you know, where they inhabit. Usually they just get their feed from somewhere else. And it's so great to be able to introduce local musicians to a broader audience that might never see them. People like me who would never go to a concert. And that's really exciting, to be exposed to something that you would never think of listening to and really enjoying it. We had a fantastic crew, and the Playhouse was wonderful to work with, and KHSU was great. We've got a car donation program where if you donate your used vehicle to PBS North Coast, every single penny of that money that is donated to us that we can get from that vehicle goes into just local production. So, you know, if you've got an old car in your garage or a boat, motorcycle, instead of hassling with the paperwork to sell them, you might think about donating them, and then you can hear more of that.
Lost Coast Cuisine, that's going to be coming
North
up,
Coast
too.
North Coast Cuisine.
North Coast, Lost Coast.
And, you know, North Coast Perspectives. Yep. We're just about to put out a show called The Bucket List. We're still recruiting for that. And
what is that show, The Bucket List?
The Bucket List is for 60 people, 60 and up, and they are going to be able to choose one thing they've always wanted to do in Humboldt County, and then they'll get to do it.
What are some things that they're choosing to do?
I don't know. I'm not a producer. that's just coming in the pipeline. Yeah. I'm working on North Coast Cuisine, which is our local cooking show with local chefs from local restaurants. And I'm editing that. Sam Green's editing Lost Coast Sessions. And we got some great photographs from Mike that we were able to use for publicity. And that's all spinning along. It's exciting to talk about local talent, local musicians, local poets, local restaurateurs, local cooks, and then local farmers. Part of the North Coast Cuisine focuses on local purveyors like Cypress Groves, like I&I Farms, a couple of the wineries.
And the restaurant that's here in Ferndale.
That's right. Farmhouse on Main is one of the restaurants who's you will get to see their chefs. Favorite recipes that he'll be demonstrating for you. And
sounds like you have a lot of really exciting things going on. And coming up, we're going to talk all about the Great American Read, too, which is a really fabulous thing that's happening. And if you want more information, pbsnorthcoast.org. I got to take a quick break and let some of our sponsors take up words. But then after this, if people have never heard Lord Ellis, they're a great local band. I'm going to go ahead and play one of the Lord Ellis tracks, all right, right after the break. And then we'll talk all about the Great American Read. So make sure to stick around and make sure to check out the Lost Coast Sessions. The viewing party is next Friday, September 7th at 8 p.m. over at the Arcata Playhouse. And then make sure to tune in at 10 p.m. the following day to see it live on Keat TV. So stick around. You're listening to KHUM Humboldt Grown Radio without the rules. You're listening to KHUM Humboldt Grown Radio without the rules. That was Lord Ellis, and we'll talk more about them here in just a second. But first, I want to let people know about something kind of serious that just happened. Multiple power lines are down near the intersection of 12th and C Streets in Arcata, and there is a fire that has spread to a residence next to there. So if you're near C in between 11th and 13th Street, and police are blocking the street right now, and make sure to stay out of that area, stay away from it, because that will relieve stress on emergency personnel. So please, please make sure to avoid that area and don't try to walk over there or be curious or anything else like that. They have a lot to deal with. It looks like PG&E will be there in about a half an hour, but Arcata Police and Humboldt Bay Fire are already on the scene. But Lord Ellis is going to be, well, has taken part in the Lost Coast Sessions. They've already recorded it, but they're going to be over at the viewing party over at the Arcata Playhouse on Friday, next Friday, not this one, but the next one. Friday, September 7th at 8 p.m. for a free showing of their session that they recorded for the Lost Coast Sessions that PBS North Coast and KHSU has put on. And then that'll be shown the following evening at 10 p.m. over on Keat. So you can watch that. And it'll be actually the audio will be a little bit earlier on the day over at KHSU as well. And what time was that again that that's going to happen?
The on Lost KHSU? Coast?
What?
We're not sure.
You're not sure? Okay, it'll happen.
I don't know if it's going to happen. It's happening in the fall, so that's coming up. I'm not sure they know exactly when. I think they were thinking on Saturday either at 1 or 2.
Something like that.
I don't know.
Well, here is Katie Whiteside, if you're just now tuning in, who formerly of KHSU, but now with PBS North Coast. And we also happen to have Charity in here as well, who is also with PBS North Coast. And we have Mike Drunkers on the phone still, right? You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, phone. It's not really a phone.
Okay. You're getting technical here on us. Through Facebook, through a mic hooked into Facebook Messenger. Is that better?
Yes. So we want the fidelity, since I couldn't be there and hang out with Katie and Charity and you during your last week.
I know. I'm so bummed you're leaving.
I know. Everything's changing up in media in Humboldt County, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, both Will and Hunter left the Time Standard, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't Linda leave the... Linda Stansbury leave the Journal too, so lots of stuff. Yeah,
That's news to me. I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah.
Change happens.
But, yeah. And so that she did, right, Mike? She went to the...
That is correct.
Yeah. She ended up going on over to the Humboldt Area Foundation, I believe. But the Great American Read, in other news, since we just dropped that bomb on everybody, is going on. And Katie, do you want to go ahead and briefly describe
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'll start this. PBS North Coast is happy to invite everybody out to a free event as part of the Great American Read. It's taking place on September 11th. That is Tuesday, September 11th. We are having a showing, a preview of an 8-part series from the Great American Read. And what we're going to watch that evening is titled, Who Am I? Now, people across the U.S. have been voting about their favorite books all summer. This launched back on May 22nd. It was a 2-hour show, and it got people excited, prepped to start reading. They've got a list of 100 books. 100 books. And they surveyed about 7,000 people. I think mostly writers and readers, everybody, right?
Yeah, the survey sample wasn't as broad as we would probably like, but it wasn't just 5 publishers getting to decide.
Right. And so they narrowed it down to 100 books. And now we as readers and the public get to vote. And the more votes that come in, the more they get to narrow the field down. And on October 23rd, they're going to announce the favorite book, the winner. I don't know how they do that, though.
Well, really. They're tallying the votes, but it's, you know, whoever gets the most votes is America's favorite novel or fiction book. But I'd like to go back to your event coming up on Tuesday, September 11th at the Eureka Theater. So this is a special sneak preview of Who Am I, which is the third in their series and has all to do with books that have something to do with revealing identity or identity crisis in their characters. But they also help the reader kind of find their identity. And Katie, the book that you voted for as your favorite will be featured in that broadcast of Who Am I at the Eureka Theater. What was your favorite book?
Siddhartha.
Why?
Because my teacher in high school, who I really loved, pushed our limits. You know, he had us read all these things, and there we are in high school, and he had us read Siddhartha. And you know, it was hard. Being a teenager is hard. And the character in Siddhartha, you know, he's a teenager trying to find himself, trying to find his way, and having all these experiences. And I identified with it. And it made me think, you know, the beauty of books, it takes you to another place. And I like that.
And that lets your imagination go wild.
Yeah.
It's different than whenever you watch video and you're basically given everything.
Right.
And yeah. With this, you get to just imagine. And sometimes you imagine crazier things than they could even ever do.
Exactly.
Even on television with what they have nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the books that people are voting on?
Well, there's a list of 100, which I won't read, but...
yeah, I'm definitely not asking you for that. We'd be going into this afternoon talking about that.
Some of them are children's books and classics, like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, Anne of Green Gables. Some were very influential of their time, like Atlas Shrugged. There are classics, Catch-22, Catcher in the Rye, books that meant a lot to us in our childhood, like Charlotte's Web, The Chronicles of Narnia.
Love those.
Yeah, when you mention somebody's favorite childhood book or they talk to you about them, there's just something where you can see their heart beating a little stronger and they get a warm glow because books can speak so strongly to us. But I think that especially for kids, because it's one of those rare things, especially now, where it's just you and the printed page and there's not 15 voices all speaking at you. You know what they look like in your head. You have time to, there's a phrase. You want to think about it. Why does this, like, resonate with me? Why does it make me feel glad all of a sudden when I hadn't been able to figure out something? And it's books that can really speak to you from other centuries and different kind of people that you will never have a chance to again. I mean, libraries are the great free repositories of knowledge in our civilization, and they have everything from the latest book published last month to tombs centuries old, and we can hear those voices, and we can see what they were thinking of back then, or see what it was like to be an interned Japanese-American citizen. The world experiences both fiction and nonfiction, and it's a kind of media that when, you know, the intertubes came along, people said print is dead, and print is actually more alive than ever. And The Great American Read is a series that celebrates Americans' love of reading. I've got a rundown, Kate.
Yes.
Would you like me to go through?
Yes,
okay.
I would.
So Keat is airing, PBS North Coast is airing the first episode on Tuesday, September 11th, but we, through our magic, have created a sneak preview of the next episode, Who Am I?, which is all about how America's novels answer the age-old question, Who Am I?. Tuesday, September 25th, PBS North Coast will be featuring the theme Heroes. Tuesday, October 2nd, it's Villains and Monsters. Tuesday, October 9th, it's What We Do for Love. Tuesday, October 16th, it's Other Worlds, which I'm really glad they did not leave science fiction and fantasy off this list. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday, October 23rd is a show where they have the grand finale and they reveal America's favorite book. And these are books from all over the world. They're not just American authors. Mm-hmm. It's a really diverse selection. Some things that you would be surprised that would be on were, you know, Hunt for Red October was a really popular book, but who knew that so many people would remember it and want to put it on their favorite list? Whereas, you know, I see two Bronte books, but there's no George Eliot. So, you know, we have a feeling that when on October 23rd, when the big reveal of America's favorite book is done, there will be instant outrage and controversy because my
so
book didn't get picked. Yeah.
There is.
Well, Charity, what is your favorite book?
It will surprise no one. Pride and Prejudice. I'll go.
Well, that's a good one.
I'll go with the stereotype.
And how long, do you remember the first time you read that book and you opened it up?
I was always a reader. And like you, mm-hmm. I love Chronicles of Narnia and Charlotte's mm-hmm. Web and all the Little House on the Prairie mm-hmm. books. But we read Pride and Prejudice my sophomore year in high school. I had a great English teacher. I just remember being so excited because some of the 19th century novels that we had read, though it's really 18th century, they had no humor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that men and women before our time actually had wit and sparkle and a sense of irony. And then we went on to read Gulliver's Travels, which I also enjoy. But I just think Pride and Prejudice hits so many people, especially women, just on some level where they can just really appreciate a protagonist who is clever and funny and, you know, not a stereotypical fainting female.
Exactly.
You know, the humorous look at her parents and how useless her mother is. And, you know, so many of these books have been adapted to either television series like The Stand by Stephen King or movies like To Kill a Mockingbird. And, you know, PBS North Coast, we're always running Masterpiece. The Durrells and Corfu is coming up, which is based on the book My Family and Other Animals by Gerald Durrell. And it's about his family, which, of course, for readers includes the pain in the neck writer, Lawrence Durrell, who, if you've read his stuff, you will not be surprised to learn he was a giant pain in the neck to live with as well. And coming up on September 9th is The Miniaturist, which was a huge bestseller novel about a woman. I think she lives in Amsterdam, and she has an arranged marriage with a wealthy sugar merchant. And as a wedding present, he gives her a miniature house and miniature items that fit into the miniature house keep appearing mysteriously, and they are the key to what's going on in the real house.
Oh yeah, that is a weird.
Yeah, it's an interesting premise, and it's Richard Lee Dunn. I have not read the book, so when I tune in on Sunday, September 9th, it will be the first time, but it looks really intriguing. I would, you know, if you like sort of it's typical 17th century Amsterdam. And if you like historical fiction, I strongly advise this one. And then it's just pure pleasure to visit with the Durrell family in Corfu, because as we've had probably the grayest foggest we've ever had, it'll be great to live for a little bit in Greece, in sunny Greece, and see how beautiful that island is. And
even if it's fire, you're fire, you know?
Right, exactly. We'll be shivering here, but we can see the Durrells on Corfu. And, oh, right, that's what sunshine looked like. I remember vaguely. And, you know, just be grateful that they're a lot of fun to watch, but you really wouldn't want to live with them. So, Katie, I think you've got another event coming up with the library.
Actually, I got to take a quick break and let some of our sponsors say a couple words. These folks are wonderful, and they keep us on the air and let us do these wonderful things, like sit around and talk about reading and that sort of thing for a while. So we're gonna take this short break, and then we'll get back in and talk much more all about the Great American Read. And once again, I have Charity in here, Charity Grella, mm-hmm. and with PBS North Coast, and Katie Whiteside, also with PBS North Coast, and Mike Dronkers, who's with KHSU, also on the phone. And we'll also hear from Mike as well what his favorite book is in just a little bit. So make sure to stick around. You're listening to KHUM. You're listening to KHUM, Humble Grown Radio Without the Rules. I was a Beatles and paperback writer, and we are talking all about the Great American Read. And I happen to have Katie Whiteside in here from PBS North Coast, as well as Charity Grella, too. And we have Mike Dronkers from KHSU on the phone. How's it going, Mike? You still there?
I am still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. We were talking all about our favorite books, and I realized that we went around to just about everybody else except for you. What is your favorite book?
I was thinking about that. And first of all, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, when I look at the book that I've read the most times, like, that would probably be the one, but I don't feel good saying it's my favorite book. I've just read it the most times. Which is, I read Michael Crichton's, I don't like Michael Crichton at all. But I wound up reading his autobiography, which is called Travels. Mm-hmm. And so here's a dude who, like, he's a, you know, Harvard med school. He's a doctor. And, like, in the book, he talks about, like, traveling to astral planes and having visions and, like, moving around in the spirit world. And it's not fiction. Like, he's just like, look, I'm bending spoons with my mind. You can take it or leave it. So
sounds like him. I mean, I was all into all of his dinosaur books. So.
But I will say I'm reading Homegoing right now, and that's tracking pretty nice.
What's Homegoing?
Homegoing is historical fiction, and it starts in, like, Ghana in, like, the late 18th century, and it tracks the two descendants of this one mom and sort of how their lives change. And that's all I'll say, because I'm only about 35 pages into it right now. But mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing so far.
That's pretty cool. Somebody just texted in and said that I misspoke, and I haven't said my favorite books.
Right. We were waiting for it. Yeah.
I think that the one that I've read the most times is Brave New World. And I have loved that book for a very long time.
What about Brave New World speaks to you? What do you get out of it?
Something different every time. That's what it is. I feel like it almost adapts and changes with the time, because you can read it from multiple different perspectives and pick out something new every time you read it. And so it's always continually interesting, or there are different parts that I picked up on it that I didn't pick up on before. I mean, that's what really makes a really good book, is it's able to, you know, adapt and change and speak to many different people and to continually teach you lessons. But one of the books that I've been on for, I don't know, the last couple of years is, it's a very, very long book, and it's Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace. And that's
He's
good.
So fun.
Have you read Infinite Jest? Because I'm ready to be impressed if you have. It's 1,000 pages. I've only read it once.
Although, it got me thinking, we were all talking about Chronicles of Narnia. Right. And I was trying to think, like, what was the best of that series? And I'm going to point to Voyage of the Dawn Treader as
the, also the best. Reefa Cheap. Reefa Cheap's my favorite character.
That was also I always thought that one was the best, too. It was the most adventurous. They did a lot more. It wasn't as Aslan heavy. I always felt, though, I loved Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because mm-hmm. that was the introduction, and it, you know, so the talking animals were just so wonderful and amazing to me. But yeah, I bet I read Voyage of the Dawn Treader at least 5 more times than I read any of the other ones.
Oh, which yeah, is the best one.
I read them all multiple times, but Voyage of the Dawn Treader got the most rotation.
Have you ever seen the BBC version?
Incredible adaptation.
Yeah, that is really, really wonderful. I almost like it more, like, well, I do like it more than the newer movies that they put out.
Well, and that's the interesting thing when you, the whole argument about, you know, which is better, the book or the movie, mm-hmm. and you, especially books when you're a kid, you don't want them to ruin them. I tuned into that BBC one saying, please do not ruin my beloved book. And it's sort of like the Annie series Pride and Prejudice, where there'd been a couple of crummy movies done, and then they did the one with Colin Firth, and it was amazing. It was mm-hmm. the Pride and Prejudice of all time. But, you know, there's everybody's got something. If it means a lot to you when you're a kid, you're a lot less likely to let it go. But Katie, I think you've got something really exciting to add.
Well, I was
going to
tell you about my Dean Koontz books. Okay, I have a storage unit full of Dean Koontz. Sorry, I'm just throwing that
you're
in
fine.
There. I'm just throwing
That's
it in
cool.
there because I didn't realize he was on the list until after I voted.
Oh, okay.
I love the book that's listed there about the dog.
Books is hard.
I know. You have to go through. So take your time when you're going to vote. Go to the Great American Read.
Yeah, Great American Read or pbs.org/Great American Read. All one word. And they've got all the books there.
How long do people have to vote?
You have, I think it's like mid-October.
So get on it now.
Yeah.
Don't forget about it. Do it right now.
Just and it's a great, you know, the list of books, if you haven't read the books, there's your list. Go see what everybody else thinks is their favorite and find out if you like it. Go read them.
And I will say, even if they're young adult books or kid books, too,
yeah.
if you're an adult, go ahead and read them because it is part of the shared culture of this country, some of those books.
Oh, yeah. And some of those, like, you might not even think to read or you've been meaning to read for
right.
ages. And you're like, well, now's the time to pick them up.
I was going to remind everybody, because I know you're running out of time, that again, on Tuesday, September 11th at 6 o'clock, the doors are opening at the Eureka Theater. At 7 o'clock, we're showing Who Am I? And upstairs, we're opening early so that we can videotape you. We want to videotape you with your favorite book, and it's free. And we're all going to watch together, TV, together at the Eureka Theater. How fun is that?
But that will be. We told you about our favorite books. Now you will have the opportunity to tell us about your favorite books and be on TV, and we'll be using your segment throughout the run of The Great American Read so people can see what your favorite book is. Please stop by and be interviewed.
Now, if you go to The Great American Read and just sort of, there's a lot of things you can see there, but you'll see some of the famous people like Sarah Jessica Parker talking about her favorite book. That's what we want to do with you. You don't have to be famous. You can do it. You are famous.
And just sit down. I mean, everybody knows within themselves why you love this book.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty easy to go ahead and do and make that happen. And once again, that's free and happening Tuesday, September 11th. And so make sure to come a little bit early and bring your favorite book with you.
Or at least bring an idea of what your favorite book is.
Yeah. If you don't have the book, that's okay.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Okay. Sweet. That also works out.
Yeah.
You can go to pbsnorthcoast.org for more information about this, plus everything else that we talked about, such as like the Lost Coast sessions and whatnot. And I'll post more information over at khome.com within the next little bit. As soon as I'm off the air, I'll go ahead and get that on. Well, thanks everybody for coming in.
Thank you.
Hey, and we'll get the audio stuff posted to khsu.org. So when you hear it on the radio, you go, you know what? I'm going to want to see that and work in concert.
Oh, you mean for the Lost Coast sessions?
For Lost Coast sessions, yeah. One other thing before I dip out, and I think, Katie, you and I have spent some time in radio, and I think we can agree that Bailey leaving town is We're happy for her, yes. But what a loss. Like, I know. You're so awesome, Bailey, and good luck on everything.
I know, but Lindsay Battle is also really amazing. And right. So people are gaining Lindsay Battle for an extra 5 days out of the week. And that is fabulous. Something to really cherish. Yeah. She is a wonderful human. You know, whenever I moved to town, she was one of the first people that were like, you're coming over to my house for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
very nice.
Yeah. She's going to be great, but like, good luck on everything. And I heard, I think, like, what was it yesterday that Betty Chin told Bailey Brown, you're such an inspiring lady. And I was like, well, that's it. That's a wrap. That's like the highest endorsement you can get. Maybe on Earth, when Betty Chin is like, I find you very inspiring.
you're very kind, Mike. Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to miss all of you guys too, but I'm not going to be a stranger to Humboldt County. I'll still pop on down several times. I'm going to take a quick break and let some of our sponsors say a couple words, and then Cam actually is going to be taking over, and we might get on a couple songs about books here in just a little bit, so stick around. You're listening to KHOME.